It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Our podcast for today has a strange title, Why Homologeo Matters. And you might say, what on earth is homologeo? And more to the point, why should I care? Two good questions. Let's see if I can provide some good answers. So, what is homologeo? As you've probably guessed, this word is a Greek word. It's used more than 25 times in the New Testament. The homo, or homo, refers to same, as in homo sapien, homogenize, homonym, and so forth. The legeo part is to say or speak. Together, the word has the literal meaning of to say the same thing. In the New Testament, homologeo is often translated as confess or confessing. For instance, we read in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess, if we homologeo our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Literally, this could be read, if we say the same thing as God about our sins, he will forgive and purify us. That's the dynamic of confession. So what is confession? From that grace-filled place where a person experiences and acts upon the gift of repentance, we dealt with that in the previous podcast, there is the need to express that repentance to the offended person in some way. We could say that confession is repentance spoken. It is the repentant heart expressing itself. In the story we're becoming familiar with, the prodigal returns home. The very act of returning is an act of confession, but listen as his tongue speaks for his repentant heart in Luke 15, verse 21. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's confession, or repentance spoken. Similarly, when the prophet Nathan exposes David's sin of adultery, the king simply says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. That's confession, or repentance spoken. Later in Psalm 32, verse 5, David writes, I acknowledged my sin to you, to God, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Genuine confession offers no defense for the offense. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. It is a frank admission. What I did was sin. What I did was wrong. What confession is not? Counterfeits of genuine confession include, I'm sorry, and I apologize. We hear this very frequently. As a courtesy, you might say sorry to a pedestrian you brush against on a busy street. But what does I'm sorry mean in the context of an offense that is serious enough to have broken or damaged a relationship? Does it mean, I'm sorry you're so sensitive? Or, I'm sorry I got caught? Or, I'm sorry you're such a jerk? I'm sorry has little, if any, meaning in the process of rebuilding a broken relationship. The same is pretty much true of the term I apologize. The word apology comes from another Greek word, apologia, used for the action of a lawyer defending a case. And although we may not use this word in this technical sense, we probably acknowledge that I apologize falls short of saying I have sinned or I'm wrong. Here are three reasons why confession matters. First, confession is integral to the process of forgiveness in the Bible. We have confirmed that from our earlier references to David in 1 Samuel 11 and 12, and his Psalms 51 and 32. Then there's that prodigal son parable in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. These are just two of numerous biblical examples. The second reason why confession matters is that confession is repentance spoken. It is the wrongdoer communicating to the offended person, I am wrong. If repentance is not communicated in some way, how can it be known there was repentance at all? How do we know the offense has been owned or admitted by the offender, and that the offender is now saying the same thing about the offense as the victim. In some way, the genuineness of the heart is linked with the expression of the mouth. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, we see this heart-mouth link, perhaps in a different context, the context of confessing with our mouth what is in our heart in the concept of believing unto salvation in the Lord Jesus. Without the heart, what we say with the mouth lacks authenticity. Without the mouth, what we believe with the heart lacks substance. So again, genuine confession becomes the tongue speaking for the repentant heart. And the third reason why confession matters is that confession implies the yearning for forgiveness. We could say that confession includes the expectation of forgiveness. Commenting on Psalm 32, verse 5, that I've quoted earlier, Walter Brueggemann writes that this verse, quote, describes the incredible release that comes with articulating the guilt before Yahweh. That is all that is needed. The act of forgiveness follows the act of confession directly, without condition or mediator, end quote. Do you have anything to add? Do you have anything to confess? You can write me at jmacdonald, that's M-A-C, jmacdonald@outreach.ca, or on my website, johnbmacdonald.com. In future podcasts, I plan to explore confession in the vertical, that is toward God, and the horizontal, that is toward others.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.